right off the bat, I'll tell you, I had an email from a listener who contacted me on Tech Guide asking a question about two blokes and our production techniques.
Okay.
So the...
Is it a positive or a negative?
No, he said, look, I'm really interested to hear how you guys do it.
You know how I respond to negative criticism.
Yes, I understand that.
Get me his address.
I'm just trying to find the email, and I'll read it out. Mm. Here it is. Here it's from Greg Nelson.
Hi, Greg. It's great to have you.
Just wondering if you could allocate some time in the podcast to talk through the technical setup for the Two Blokes podcast. And my reply was going to be, "What about the Tech Guide podcast?" And he said, i.e., how you trigger the sound promo stings, your opinions of the Rodecaster, what mics you use, what hosting service you use for the podcast, what technical issues you've had over the years. And he basically just wants to pick our brains about this.
That's a whole separate show, isn't it?
It kind of is, but we get some of that up easy. Well, first of all, it's the Rodecaster we use.
The main problem we have is I've got a croaky voice and I'm going to be coughing through this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like I'm about to come down with something.
Oh, okay. And
good luck. You're going to get it now.
Yeah, I'm sitting right opposite you. So can you cough in the
direction? We are using the Rodecaster Pro, which in my mind has been an absolute game changer. Because, I've bought all the frigging things over
the
years.
Me too. And the mixers.
Mics, everything.
Yes.
But we've kind of got it down to a point now with this is all we need
in one. It's a one-stop shop. Now, and just to answer your other question, how do we trigger the sound promo/stings? The Rodecaster has 8 pads, which, thanks to the latest firmware update, allows you to program several pages of pads. Yep. Before, you could only do 8. Yep. Now, how many pages can you do now? You can do like
eight pages.
So you can do 8 pages of pads. So there's 8 pads.
8 by 8.
Like on my Tech Guide podcast, I've got a total of 10 or 12 stings on my show. Right, yeah. So I go from one page to the other because I've got a sting for my reviews and everything else. And so I go from that one. So that answers that. So the Rodecaster looks after that as well. Previously, before the Rodecaster, we had a mixer and used an iPad. Yep. An iPad with an app that used to do that. I used to do that on TechBot as well.
Yep.
And what else? What mics do we use? Well, we're currently, today, this second, we're using the Sennheiser, what model?
Like HD500 or
something like that. HD500 Pro. Can you see it on the side of my head?
No, it's not written on the side. Is it written on the side of mine?
This is, no, it's not. It's a headset. So we've got a headset, which includes the mic. So it comes down in front of your mouth. And the cable has both a mic extension, a mic connection, and a headphone connection.
Wonderful.
And that goes into the Rodecaster. But on Tech Guide, I mix between this same Sennheiser headset that we use. Whenever Trevor comes to the Tech Guide studio, we use the Sennheiser headsets because it's just easier. We're just sitting in there rather than having to have stands for the mics. When I do my Tech Guide podcast, most of the time I'm using a Rode. What's that? What's the Rodecaster microphone? The Rodecaster
podcaster.
Podcaster mic from Rode. Podcast, yeah. And I've got like an arm that's sort of held in front of my mouth. What else did he say? What hosting service? We go through Wooshka. Shout out to our mate Rob Lowenthal. What technical issues have you had over the years, Trev?
Mainly just Steve.
Apart from scheduling the time for us to spend together. Well, when we first started the podcast, 8 years ago, we used to do it over Skype. And that was...
Sounded rubbish.
The problem was at my end, because if we did that now, because I've got the NBN, my uploads are really good. It would sound a lot better. But back then, my upload, I was on Optus cable. Great download, but upload was rubbish. It was less than 1 megabit per second. Yeah. I'd be lucky to get 0.2 megabit per second. That was the issue, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
But then we made a decision about, 4 or 5 years ago now, that we were going to record in person.
Yeah.
So we make time. Like I've driven for 5.5 hours to get to your office tonight out here in the sticks. And we always now record together. So, Greg, if you're listening... please listen to the Tech Guide podcast as well. But
anyone else is still listening? Thanks for sticking around.
That's how we do it. The pre-show is normally a bit funnier than that, but that was really interesting question. He was very specific because he said, "Look, the information would be helpful for people wanted to enter the podcasting production space."
And I look forward to the time when we charge for tickets.
Yeah.
And like we could have 3 What's people this? At a time here.
3?
what would it be, $100 a head?
3 people at a time. 100 a head? What are we going to put on? What are we, Frank Sinatra?
I go
to
pretty
quote
good.
George Costanza.
New York, New York!
No?
I'm just trying to say, you know, if Greg wants to come pick our brains.
Okay, yeah, we do consult for a fee.
I'm just saying. Is that right? Come watch.
You've done a few consulting.
Charge a fee.
You've done a few consulting.
We can't do everything for
you
nothing.
You charge. Your hourly charges are pretty high, aren't they?
We do a lot for nothing.
Yeah, we do a lot for nothing, but yeah, there are opportunities we get where, you know, they want our expertise, yeah. They want to pick on our experience, and we charge a fee for that.
Did you want to do a show today?
I'd love to do a show.
Okay, let's do it.
Welcome to Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Not a bad price.
With Trevor Long from EFTM.com.
Really handy device.
And Stephen Fennec from techguide.com.au.
Thanks to the good people at Netgear and Uniden. We thank them for their support. Episode 418. They've been with us all year and many years prior. Stephen, before we get into the year, into the week, into the actual tech news, this will be our last show for the year.
Yeah,
because
our last show.
I don't think you want to see me on
year.
Boxing Day.
No, I don't. Are you going to be at the sales? Are you going to be at the sales?
No.
No? I wouldn't mind seeing you on Boxing Day. Your wife would probably want me to see you on Boxing Day, so she doesn't have to see you on Boxing Day.
Yeah. No, what are you coming to the sales for?
I'm not. I'm just saying that's going to be a big, big day. People who've still got money left after Christmas, I don't know how.
Is it still a big day? I don't know.
Massive day.
Okay.
And even stores put stock aside for Boxing Day.
Yeah, right.
So they don't sell it for Christmas. They have it ready for Boxing Day. Can you believe it? Like they must have clearance stock and stuff like that.
What we're saying is we need a little bit of time apart before we get to see
it. Well, it is Christmas week, so we're going to...
There is a chance my family want to see me.
Yeah.
What
are you doing for Christmas this year, Trev?
I don't know. At your,
but where is it? Were you having lunch?
I don't know. Wherever
dinner?
Amanda tells me to go.
Okay. Is it her side of the family?
Yeah,
this year?
We always just go to her family's place.
Is that right?
My mum lives in Woodport.
Okay, of course. Yeah, right.
We've been there once or twice.
Where do your outlaws live?
Up in further north.
Okay.
Sydney.
Jeez.
It'd be quicker.
Is that further than this year?
It'd be pretty much the same. It'd be equidistant.
Wow. Okay.
But
so you go there again.
We'll go
this
there
year?
For lunch. The kids will, you know, get lots of
get presents. Spoiled. Yeah, right.
All that kind of jazz.
Does your mum send gifts to the kids and that, mate?
No.
No. No. Just FaceTimes.
She's not a very gifty person.
FaceTimes him and says...
My mum's pretty much me. She's not very communicative. She's not very nice.
She's lovely.
She's
lovely, your mum. I've met your mum. She's nice.
So that's Nick's. I mean,
you know, I remember the first time I met your mother, we went to Walker Road.
Yeah.
And I can remember you talking and swearing in front of your mum. You were swearing.
Yeah.
Why would you do that in front of your mother? Although I've let the odd word slip in front of my parents, but... Yeah.
The odd word, Jesus.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Right, so you've judged me based on that.
No, I haven't judged you. It's good that you got the... she accepts you.
Where do you think
I
learned it from?
Okay. Sweary Trev. All right. Has any of your kids ever sworn in front of
my Uncle Ray. Really? He had the hottest mouth.
Really?
And I'd 100... If someone, tried to... accuse me of swearing. I just say it's Uncle Ray's fault. Like, bad luck.
Right.
He was just like...
Has your kids ever dropped an F-bomb?
Nah. I think there has been the use of the word unknowingly. Like, ooh. I don't think they knew what it was.
Did you make a big deal of it
at
the time?
Massive
you did?
Deal.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so the kids call me on swearing. They call me out.
Really?
Yeah. Which, and I, look, I can't stop swearing.
Yeah.
And I think I've said, I'm happy to say, I think I've said this on this show before, so excuse me if I'm repeating, but Amanda pretty much hates the fact that I swear.
Yeah,
so does
my wife.
Not
as
because
well.
I swear, but because I've never sworn on the radio or TV, ever.
Yeah,
and so she says, if you can turn it off when you're on TV, why can't you turn it off when you're at home? And it's
a
great point.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Joe, God love her. She doesn't like me swearing. In fact, this is what happens, right? You now got two Dalmatians, right?
Have you? Ziggy and Zaggy.
Ziggy and Logan, right?
Ziggy and Zaggy.
Ziggy's the older one.
Yeah.
Ziggy's the real...
Why would you name
Ziggy's
another dog
really,
something other than Zaggy after that?
Ziggy's really sensitive. He's a very sensitive dog. At home, he's very sensitive. Like, a loud noise and he gets, you know... If I swear, he bolts out the back. He leaves.
Oh.
He goes. And... Joe, rather being upset, she's more upset that I've upset the dog than upset her. Like, so she'll say, Ziggy, come back. Like, it's okay. Like, I'd be on the news or something. South are doing something. And I'm thinking, and I'm in another part of the house and he hears me and then he's off. Yeah. So he's every time I see him, he's my reminder not to swear.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, there's no way I swear around my kids at all as much as I do in the real world.
Wait till they get older,
they've definitely heard me, right? Like, Jacko's 13 now. I think I swear already more in front of him just because it's like he's a teenager
now.
But Harry, even if like low-level swear words, not even ones that actually would get you in trouble in any form of media, Harry will call you out. Language.
Oh, really? Yeah. Jeez, Sheriff Harry.
But you know what? That's what you need. He needs to know those are incorrect terms to use, which will stop him using them.
Yeah, no,
that's
cool.
Our plan.
Fair call. When your kids get older, mate, all those rules go out the window, you know, okay?
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Like anyway, context.
How do we get on that subject? I love just how we sway off
I
the topic.
I just don't know.
Awesome.
Anyway, so it'll be the last show before CES, essentially. So
no, you're talking about your mother. That's why.
That's right. Swearing, yeah, you were talking about how I upset my mother.
Potty mouth. No, your mum wasn't upset. It surprised me. That's all. You were potty mouth in front of mummy.
Your view of me went down.
No, it didn't. It did not. No, I just I don't judge people like that. I just see them as they are.
Oh, I do. So we will get to a bit of the news of the week, but
hang in there, people. We're going to get there.
Let's look forward a quick bit because, you know, for those that have been on the journey for 8 years with us, they know this is coming.
Yeah,
many of them are frankly excited about it. You know, people love what we do at CES. They love the concepts at CES.
They
and
live
the gadgets.
Vicariously through us.
Yeah, totally. As I plan to do through my son. It's going to be great.
Exactly. Right.
But CES,
I don't know where that's going. Okay.
So CES, I leave on the 2nd of January. I leave on the 4th
and arrive on the 4th. Yeah.
We're all in Vegas on the 4th. So that's the Saturday.
Yep.
We'll have a dinner on Saturday night with LG, good people. Then Sunday.
Is that still on, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And that's what Tony said to me.
Okay, nice.
Better be or I'll be filthy. I'm paying for my dinner. I've got five blokes to feed.
Fair call.
Jesus Christ.
So it's the EFTM team is going.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
I'll be there with my offsider Dan, my video man, Daniel.
So then Sunday night is when we get together for the first time and record after Unveiled. And that's all. So this is all like, this is literally 2 weeks away. Can you believe
it's two weeks?
Close?
Yeah, I know.
Like, I'm starting to freak out. There's got to be things I haven't prepared or done. Or, you know, there's a lot of information you already kind of have.
It's 2 weeks from Saturday I leave. 2 weeks from Friday for you. So Thursday.
It's today. 2 weeks
today.
From today.
Today. Wow.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Oh, I'm now freaking out. Anyway, so that's coming up. I actually don't expect it to be amazing. I won't lie.
The show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually am going to make more out of the silly stuff this year than I ever have because I think it's going to be the reason to be at CES.
Yeah.
I don't expect anything groundbreaking technology-wise. There are some things that are going to be cool.
It'll be 8K. It'll be 4K. I reckon there'll be so much to do with streaming services. There'll be all these deals done.
Yeah, but and
smart
all
home
stuff
as well.
It's going to be the same topics as the last few years. Smart home, Google Assistant, Alexa, all those things.
And, of course, there's going to be a lot of autonomous driving. Like, a lot of the motoring companies are going to be there as well. So the North Hall's like a little mini motor show, isn't it, at CES?
Although, I don't get a sense that it's going to be as much or as big as it has been.
Really?
Previously. There's the same amount and everything, but I just feel like the hype from each of them isn't quite as strong as it has been in the past. I don't know. I could be wrong, but
have they run out of things to do, mate? Have we reached that point where what can you possibly do next?
So there's two things against CES overall. One of them is the time. Like, in America it's a big time of year, but internationally, It's a dead time of year.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So back home, like apart from, there's one, the only change I can give you is the Today Show comes back on air, the A-team, kind of Carl and Ali start on that week.
So normally
it's a week later, right? So normally it's still the summer period. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but it's normally the summer team.
Right.
I've never done a live cross from CES in all the years to the A-team.
To Carl.
That's right.
Right.
So it's always been, because they always come back a week or two later.
Dead night, yeah, right.
So it feels like that's the only thing in its favour this year is it's the first week for me. But that's very
So keep an eye out for Trev on the Today Show.
but I just feel like it's a bit of a dead period. So,
yeah.
And I also think that companies, even like Samsung, so Samsung not having a press conference this
year.
Yeah,
that's the first time, isn't
They're relying on their Sunday night show that they do. Yeah.
Is that the same time as Unveiled?
Yeah, as always. Stupid. Oh, crazy great, idiots. Yeah.
Luckily, we've seen it all already, eh?
And then I think a lot of them, like Samsung, are going, we just do better by having our own events. Like, we've got coin. They've got cash.
Yeah.
So they're just putting on their own events in February, April, June, whenever.
I reckon them breaking that tradition of having a press conference, I think is alarming for the CSA, the Consumer Association. Whoever puts on CES.
Yeah.
That's alarming for them, I reckon.
Yes.
Because Samsung could very well turn into Apple and just not go. Imagine that. Imagine Samsung not being at CES.
Well, see, and here's the funny thing, right? CES is about the retailers coming and seeing their wares for the year ahead.
But there
they've
wasn't
already
any.
Done that.
Yeah,
no, they do that now ahead of time at their headquarters. They bring they bring those buyers
did you notice
to Samsung.
At the Samsung booth. Samsung was a good example So CES 2019, so January this year, normally the Samsung stand and the LG stand, all the others, there's just row after row of televisions.
Yeah.
We see all the TVs.
Yep.
In the Samsung booth, there wasn't one. They were all on the walls and examples of things, yeah. And it was more a story of the smarts and the interactivity and yeah. all this sort of gear now. So it's more a story rather than a product they're selling. So that's the biggest change, and I think we're just going to go further down that path for this next show.
But interestingly, and this is a bit of shop talk behind the curtain stuff, but there are a couple of companies who I've got notes from in the last week or so going, "Oh, you're doing anything on this day?" And I'm like, "That's press day, or that's like you're putting on a 2-hour." There's a company that's putting on a 2-hour event on press day, and I'm like, I don't want to break it to you. Press day is back to back, 45 minutes max, and you're trying to get people for 2 hours somewhere?
Hello?
That's just stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you can't come to this event and not follow the rules.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is that all the major companies know that we're going, and they just want to piggyback on the fact that we're there. Well, yeah. Good luck to them.
No.
But my response to them is, look, I've got a few companies supporting me, as you do, that we need to. Look after them first and sort of see what they want us to see
first. And
they've
been talking to us for months.
Exactly right, yeah. So a lot of people are trying to get in on the game. Like, I got a call today saying, look, we're doing a launch, blah, blah, blah. We're going to have an early look. And I think, look, send me the date, the time, where it is, and I'll see if I can make it. If I can fit it in, I'll come. If not, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. The people don't understand, we should explain the size of CES. Yeah. CES is a massive show. Like, people here, we go to Vegas and they think, yeah, good on you. You're going to go, looks like we're going to be gambling and going watching shows and everything. We work 15-hour days. And it's like when I explained to my wife, she goes, I might come with you 1 year. I said, oh, you're more than welcome, but you won't see me from 6 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night.
So I'll let you in on something that'll probably be exposed during CES in our vlogs. Amanda was going to come.
Yeah.
Like Bowen's not coming, and I had a spare seat.
Yeah.
Spare room, everything. Yeah. Although she'd be sharing with me. That'd be great.
It's your wife.
We got real close. Real close to Amanda coming. And I was...
Did the boys, to be honest, were the boys nervous, mate?
They didn't know. Stig did.
Yeah.
He was pumped. Mate, I've even got a video promo. We had a video promo ready introducing her as part of the team. It was going to be epic.
Yeah.
But in the end, long story short, the kid's grandmother, her mother, has had a heart transplant, a lot of issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Many years ago. But so she can't get sick. And while we were about to make this decision, the kids got sick. And we went, what if they got sick while we were away? Her grandma can't be around infected kids.
Yep, yep.
So it was just this whole, that'd be too much. But mate, I was excited. Close. You know why I was excited?
So she could see how much work you do. Yeah.
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 I mean, I'm not trying to brag. It's really just contextualizing.
It's busy, yeah. It's
because
busy.
The other problem for me is now we do these vlogs, the Stig's always filming everything.
Yeah.
They can't be boring. They have to be somewhat interactive and
of course,
fun. So they're top and tailed with silly things.
Yeah.
They don't really show, like, the only thing they show is my eyes over the course of 4 days get more and more tired. People say that. But I was really interested to have her there.
Yeah.
And to see
she'll
how
she'll say, you can keep this. Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
That's 2 weeks away.
She'll just have to watch your vlog.
Yeah, she will. No, she doesn't.
Good luck.
Kids do, but she doesn't.
Or she'll hear the podcast.
No, maybe that's not. Never happened. She's never, I'm pretty confident, she's never heard a bit of it.
No? Not even a line?
No. Okay. After CES, there's not much of a break before Mobile World Congress.
Well, I think before Mobile World Congress, we can expect that there's going to be another Samsung event.
Yeah.
So, and I've been offered trips the end of beginning of Feb, and I'm trying to work out if I can squeeze it in before Samsung. And Samsung
10 days in Europe, mate, it's a long time.
Yeah, so you got the same offer. Okay, you got the same offer. Well, I'll have to have a chat to you after the show about that one. So so we've got Samsung, we've got Barcelona, and then what follows? There'll be a March event. Is there an Apple do something in March?
Maybe.
Will they do something this year?
But it's interesting because you think you can plan out the year, but you really can't, can you?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the challenge, is it's not as easy as just, going, well, we can apply for holidays on this date. You know, it's not your average job that we do.
Yeah.
We can't. Like, we have great relationships. And I would argue you and I have, pretty heavy relationships with a lot of companies where we can... With the greatest respect to other people in our game, we can have a conversation that says, can you tell me the date?
Yeah.
And they'll in some way, they'll be able to give us an indication, because I'm not going to publish it. That's not my game.
Yeah, exactly.
My game isn't publishing
we're
that.
We're just trying to make logistics. Yeah, trying to work a work. Yeah.
Fortunately, a lot of these companies respect the fact that we're family people.
Yep.
We are self-employed. There's a lot of issues with just jetting away
Totally,
at the drop of a hat.
Yep.
I hope to still be doing this in 20 years, because in that case, it will be. Amanda won't give a rat's if I disappear.
It'll your just kids be are all there. Grown up.
10 days, let's make it 12, you know, like it'll be a bit like that. But right now, it's a whole different ballgame.
Totally, yeah.
I'm quite looking forward to that. I think 2020...
Yeah, it's going to be a big year, 2020.
Is going
sounds
to be...
Sounds so futuristic, eh? 2020.
Yeah. Does it sound more futuristic than 2000?
Yes.
It did.
Yeah.
But I think 2000 felt really futuristic in 1986.
Yeah. It was the start of another millennium.
No, but 2020...
This is just the start of another decade. And we can also say... The 20s. What do you say for the... Do you say the noughties?
Like the noughties and then the 10s.
The 10s?
It doesn't sound as good.
Sounds ridiculous. Nah, the 10s.
That's right. Yeah.
Nagging. See, or is it the teens?
Well, it's not really, because, you know, 10 and 11 and 12 aren't. Okay. Right? Let's just call them the 10s for now.
Okay.
But the 20s, it feels like we're going back to the bloody Depression. The Great Depression.
That's right, eh?
You know? But that's... It's really weird, isn't it? To think of the 20s, 30s, and we're going to be talking about...
Yeah.
Like I said on the radio that day, I said, well, you know, look, the 20s are going to be defined by electric cars and autonomous cars, but it won't be till the 30s. It won't be till the 30s that we have truly autonomous cars. And I went, wow, that sounded weird, you know, because you think about 1918 or something, the Model T Ford and stuff, and it's like,
that's
wow.
True, that's true.
Wow. We're getting real old.
We've come a long way. And happy birthday last week, by the way. Mate. It was Trevor's 43rd birthday. There we go. Yes.
It's really easy. Jackson plus 30.
Okay.
That's how I know.
Yeah, that's like me and my dad.
I've forgotten how
my
old
dad,
I am.
My dad is third. Me plus 30.
How many days different?
Oh, no, he's November. I'm February.
The great thing is we're 2 days different.
Oh, 2 days apart.
Yeah. So we always know what he's turning, because he's telling us, or there's a cake written or whatever, and I can just go on plus 30.
Yeah, my daughter Hayley, her age is the year, whatever the year, because she was born in 2000, so whatever the year is her age. Like 2019, she was 19. 2020, she'll be 20.
Born in when? 2000?
2000, yeah. That's my youngest. That's my amazing, youngest was it? Born in 2000. 1 month before the Olympics, she was born.
What a great year to be
born.
Shout
out to Hayley, who will never hear this.
What should we give her if she hears it?
Well, she's going away to Bali, actually. So
no, we'll give her a Christmas give her a TravelX voucher.
Yes.
Two Blokes Talking Tech, episode 418. Let's get on with the tech.
Everything about tech you never wanted to know. This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Well, Stephen, this was just so exciting this week. You know how much I love 5G, the 5G haters. And I should be doing that, yes. I should talk about our sponsors.
Is this an edit?
I feel like, I'll get back to Telstra.
What happened there was I pointed at the pad, our hastily prepared pad.
Speaking of preparation, Greg.
Yeah. That's all the preparation.
That story coming to you shortly.
Coming to you shortly, but first.
But first, the good people at Netgear. And you know, Stephen, the people at Mural retweeted Mural. One of my comments recently. I've covered in the Mural, sadly, with a bloody big TV here. Because I set the Mural. The Mural is a digital picture frame. I can't even describe it as a photo frame, because it's an artwork frame.
Yep.
It's a stunning screen. It's not cheap, but you'll get it at Harvey Norman. And I reckon it is... I described it as the most beautiful piece of technology I've ever seen.
Very
because
nice.
You can have the Mona Lisa on it. You can have your own photos, your kids on it. I've currently got a rotation of aerial photography.
Yeah, that's nice.
And so just every couple of minutes, it changes to a different aerial photograph. I just think it's beautiful. I think if you are a lover of art or a photography buff, it's an unbelievable thing to have in your home.
And the way you've hung it in what they call portrait mode.
That's right.
And so you can twist it around to landscape mode, can't you?
I don't have the twist.
They've got a mount that twists around.
Yeah, so you can actually just twist it.
You can twist it. So you one day it could be portrait, next day it could be landscape. Yeah.
And the only challenge here is I've put it in between two windows behind the TV.
So you're stuck in portrait mode.
And
there.
Sadly, I've put a bigger TV, which is now covering half of it up.
Yeah. At my place, I can switch it to landscape.
La-di-da.
Yeah. And I've got a white frame. You've got more the walnut. Is that walnut?
I like the walnut.
I've got the white one. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. It's probably not a recommendation for a Christmas gift, but if you are an art buff, photography buff, at the very least, Google it. Google Netgear Mural. You can find details at netgear.com.au.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Well, what I was teasing was the love I have for the tinfoil hat wearing anti-5G haters in the world. And I've joined all their Facebook groups. It's my favourite thing to do in the middle of the night, is just to log on, read their ridiculous comments and just write, "You're all a bunch of nut jobs." Well, the government's putting millions of dollars behind my messaging. I don't expect they'll use the term nut jobs or tinfoil hat wearing people, but Paul Fletcher is the minister responsible. He's the communications minister. But additionally, this is what I found interesting. It was a joint media release with the Honourable Richard Colbeck, who's the Minister for Aged Care.
Mm-hmm.
And that says to me, that's the market that's being most swindled here by the conspiracy theories. So I'll just read you the first paragraph. The Morrison government is investing $9 million over 4 years to build public confidence in the safety of telecommunications networks, including the new 5G mobile network. So basically, this is all about the misinformation, and that's what they say, to address the misinformation about electromagnetic energy emissions, which is causing concern in some parts of the community. For the government to have to get involved is just amazing to me. I don't know where $9 million is going to go, but I'm available as a spokesperson for like Scotty Cam style numbers.
Me too.
Did you see that drama a few weeks ago? Scotty Cam got announced as like a ambassador for apprenticeships,
tradesmen.
And the lefties are blowing up on Twitter because he's getting paid $235,000. I'm like, the bloke is the most recognisable face and name. In tradies.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's got a bad rep at all.
Absolutely.
With anyone.
Absolutely.
What a great person to put in charge. And you know what? If that's his going rate, bloody well paying for it.
Good luck to him, yeah.
And my going rate, very, very similar. Just a tiny bit less. I'd happily be involved.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's how sad it is. But what they are also doing is they're increasing a bit of funding for APSANA, which is the Australian Radiation Protection and Nuclear Safety Agency.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the people that do the testing. These are the people that run the test. I went to Telstra's little 5G thing, and they ran a test, and they had $300,000 worth of equipment doing the test that shows that 5G emits less electromagnetic energy than a baby monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my go-to statement to anyone. It's like, oh, you've got a baby. Have you? You're worried about them with 5G. Do you have a baby monitor?
Yeah.
Because that's by their head while they're sleeping, and it's worse.
I use the microwave oven. Someone messaged my on the story and says, oh, why would they be spending $9 billion on this rubbish? And I said, for a start, it's $9 million, not $9 billion. And 5G is going to accelerate many industries, help the community. And I said, if you own a microwave, you're in more danger of that appliance in your kitchen.
And look, I'm not going to go into the details, but basically, even though the baby monitor is higher emission than 5G, it's still hundreds times lower than the safe level that is set by the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
The very fact that we need to spend this money is just sad to me because fair dinkum, these people
are just
spreading misinformation. And you know what? I'm going to put it in the same category as fake news and all this bloody political rubbish that's going on Facebook over the elections and things. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
People are using Facebook to scare people and spread misinformation.
But the sadder thing is that the people who decide to join in on the movement don't bother to check the facts. They just assume that this is all right. Like the theories I've heard is that it's killing. One of my people commented, he goes, when's the last time you saw a honeybee? It's killing bees. I said, I've seen plenty of honeybees. Killing birds, causing cancer, brain tumours. And this is just all unfounded rubbish that has got so deep that the government's going to have to spend $9 million to undo the knot, you know, to untie the knot.
And I'll be honest, I respect them. I'm glad they're doing it. But
me too.
I don't think it's going to untie the knot. That's the problem.
Well, look.
Because the thing is, there's a bunch of, they call them organisations, they call themselves organisations and research organisations. It's essentially a bunch of retired 200-year-old scientists who have never believed this stuff is safe. And they publish their own reports and papers. And all you got to do is show a big bit of equipment and some, you know, electromagnetic energy waves on a screen. And you can scare people. It's an easily scareable thing.
Yeah. It's all the conspiracy theorists as well. There is
oh, that's outrageous.
Like, it's an industry. It's become an industry.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, look, I don't want to get into the whole climate change debate, but, you know, there's science on either side of that.
Yeah.
And it's an industry. There are scientists who rely on funding and reports, and it's just this multi-billion dollar industry. And this is unfortunately almost turning into that, this whole conspiracy theory outrage / you know, anxiety has gone to this level where the government's got to step in and spend money.
I'll be interested to see how it... you know, how it's created, like what is it? You know, is $9 million?
Well, it's over 4 years. So
absolutely. And just buying, so let's be clear, that's not going to be the funding for one person to voice it. It costs money to buy airtime, right? And so what they're doing is they're allocating a bunch of government money to buy the airtime on radio, on TV, hopefully on social as well, to actually push the message out on social media primarily so that people can just feel informed.
Well, I think, too, it's a bit of a sort of having the industry's back as well. Because the industry, for them to progress and to roll out the network and sort of to be unfettered in their rollout, they needed this sort of customer confidence as well. And the fact that the government's backing them now, I think that's just going to expedite this rollout.
Yep.
It's good. Look, 5G, it's the future. It's going to really, you know, we were talking about autonomous driving, advanced health services. These are all going to be powered through 5G. Smart cities. This is going to be the bedrock of those technologies is 5G.
Yeah. And you look back at the decade, 4G was only created in 2011, 2012. It's, you know, it's at maturity now. Mm-hmm. We need 5G to be at its infancy like this, and we need it to grow. Otherwise, we'll be left behind. Like, that's the challenge. We'll be left behind. So, interested and curious to see how this plays out, and we support it in every single way.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenech.
Well, there are going to be a lot of very happy children this Christmas. Because some research from Telstra has indicated that just on a quarter of all Australian parents, so the parents surveyed in this report, are going to gift their son or daughter a new smartphone.
Wow.
So
a quarter.
How good is that? And what I like about it, obviously the main reason is that it's for safety. They want the child to be contactable. Yep. They want to be able to ring them. They want them to ring them. And that's the main reason. But you know what the second reason was? The second reason was
shut
because their child
asking.
Had asked for one.
That's
all right. That was to shut them up. You said it. So
wow.
How good was that? I wish it worked that way when I was a kid.
I know, but it does. You know what? I don't want to get into an editorial about kids today and Christmas, but they do essentially get what they ask for, and I think that's not as fun and surprising as Christmas used to be. Even my wife's the same. She just sends me a list.
Right.
And, you know, she only expects me to buy one thing, but
this.
Of course I'm going to buy everything on the list. I'm not an idiot.
Oh, really?
Like, I'm not an
it's
idiot.
Like a test. She's testing you.
Yeah, I'm just not going to get the one. She sent me a list that included two glass bottle spray containers at Target that are $3 each. I'm like, I'm going to buy you a glass bottle and say, Merry Christmas. Like, that's not going to happen.
Wow, testing you out. Yeah, although, you know what? I keep offering, like, over the years, all the years I've been wearing an Apple Watch, I said, let me buy you an Apple Watch because she's tried the Fitbit, she's tried everything. I said, just get an Apple Watch, will you? I'll get you one. Yeah. She goes, nah, I don't really want it. You know what's going to happen, right? Her friend's going to get one and she'll go, how good's the Apple Watch?
Same story
and
as Google
she'll
Home.
Buy it.
Do I remember that?
Yeah.
I had a Google Home, man. It's like, that can't be here, get rid of it.
Yep.
We went to America, started seeing ads for the Google Home, and the ads were funny. Why haven't we got one of those? And then she comes home. She's at lunch with the girlfriends. One of them talks about how they use Google Home.
Yeah.
She comes home and she goes, well, Alexis has got one.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, I've got hundreds
Hello.
Of them. They're in the office.
Yeah.
Just come and take one.
I'm just waiting for my wife to say, my friend's got one. It's unreal. I said, I've been offered you one for 5 years.
So what's interesting about the mobile phone thing, though, is so we gave Jackson his first phone for his 12th. Birthday?
13th yeah. birthday.
No, 12th birthday okay, last year, going into high school.
I'll stop you there because that is the majority believe that was the right age,
yes.
12.
Going into high school. I think whatever the age that's is, your child gets into high school.
All three of my kids, same deal. When they started high school, they got a phone.
I don't see any need for a kid in primary. Unless you, there's a couple of reasons.
Unless you're like a latchkey kid, maybe. You're home by yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you got to let yourself in the house?
No, that's right.
Have you not heard that term?
No, no, just, it doesn't,
it
sounds derogatory.
It sounds like something from the
1800s. That's right. That's what I was going to say. If you work long hours, so a lot of kids in year 2, 3, 4, they go to after school, before and after school care because their parents work long hours, right? So they're at year 5 or 6, you start to say, well, listen, you can walk yourself home. It's all right, you know? But then they're not at after school care, so you don't mind having a bit of information. Now, I would argue, rather than buying a phone, I would simply put sensors and cameras at home.
Yeah.
I would just, what we
just,
used to
you
do.
You know when someone's walking
in the
house.
What we did with Jackson, press the doorbell, champion.
Ah, the Ring doorbell.
Ring doorbell.
Yeah, okay,
and
beautiful.
Just, mate, there you are. You've got to be seen, right? Anyway, so I think high school.
The Ring, just on the Ring doorbell. That's going to come in handy when he gets older.
Yeah.
Because he'll say, what time did you get home last night?
Yeah.
And he'll go, midnight.
Mate,
and then you look at the camera, it'll be like 2
I've told you before, you walk into my driveway and it's like the MCG. There's a poof,
lights everywhere.
You know, it really is. Like, there's
mate,
four lights that
what
come
about,
on.
What about if he's doing his best with a girl? And maybe then all these lights come on.
I mentioned earlier, living vicariously through him.
Is that why you got the cameras already set up, mate?
No, you go through the back door. There's no lights. Yeah, there is one, actually. Yeah. But we gave Jacko his first phone at the age of 12, at Christmas or his birthday, I can't remember which. And I noticed, unfortunately, I'm in the position, and you wouldn't have that as badly as I do, but yep. where parents are all asking me which phone to get. But the thing about it, it's all fine for a radio listener to ring up and say which phone, and I say, get the Alcatel 3 or whatever.
Yep, yep.
But when you see those parents every week, and that phone, that kid is complaining about that phone because it doesn't bloody do Fortnite or whatever the hell it doesn't do. Because not like when I recommend a phone for an 11-year-old, 12-year-old, it's basic. It makes calls, sends texts, and you can use WhatsApp. Like it doesn't need to have anything else, right?
Fair enough.
The kids hate it, right? I'm going to tell you they hate it.
Because it's not an iPhone.
Correct. But what I noticed was through the year, a lot of iPhones started appearing in kids. Like kids were holding iPhones.
Yep.
But they're not new. Right, they're getting the second and third hand-me-downs. That's a challenge for Jacko because I don't have hand-me-downs. My iPhones go back.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't have old iPhones.
Same
right?
with me. Yeah.
Amanda's got an iPhone. We do have an iPhone 6, but I think that's way too... it's just not...
What phone does your wife use now?
She's got an 8 Plus.
I bought my wife an iPhone 10. I got her one.
Yeah, well, don't tell Amanda that.
Okay, I'm just telling you.
Just drop off on the iPhone.
She's not
going to
hear it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
She's not going to hear it.
So Jacko starts during the year saying, "Well, I want an iPhone." Like, and he never says it to me. Never, ever, ever has he said it to me.
He says it to Mum.
Only says it to
really?
Mum. So Mum says to me, "He wants an iPhone," and I say to her, "Listen to me. He's not getting an iPhone because it's
expensive.
What do you say? It's a path you can't come back from. Yeah. Right? It's like driving on the road and going, we're going to take the toll road or not. Once you're on the freeway, you're on it.
True, but it's like also getting a Porsche for your first car."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like your first car should be small, manageable. Yep. You don't get a Mercedes-Benz first car off
so,
the thing. So
he got a pair of Sunnies for his birthday on Monday.
Yeah.
And on Wednesday, he got his
what
school
brand
report,
of Sunnies?
Oakleys.
Solid.
Yeah, he wanted them for baseball. They're proper, customised. They've got his name engraved.
Joking.
They make them custom. It's awesome.
For baseball, beautiful.
He got a great school report. And so Amanda said, should we give him that phone you've been talking about? I said, okay, I'll give him the phone. So I had a Samsung A30.
Yep.
Which is about a $400, $379 phone. Yep. It's way up from the
So his most expensive
Huawei,
phone he's ever had.
The Huawei Nova 3e, I think I gave him last year. Was
that's
like
about $300?
No. It was a 199 phone. Okay. Whatever it was I gave him last year was a 199 phone.
Yep.
And he tested this year. He tested an Alcatel 3 and a Samsung A20. So he tested a couple of phones for me. But he broke both of them.
Oh.
Yeah, because I gave them to him to test and I didn't give him a case.
Oh.
Idiot. We bought him a case with the Huawei. So I went to JB Hi-Fi and I bought a case or the A30,
and
a proper legit Tech 21. Yes.
Wow, nice.
Tech 21 case.
Beautiful.
And I said to him, here, mate, well done on the report. You can have this.
Oh, good
one. And he looked at me and went, oh, awesome. And I looked at him and I said, mate, go to geekbench.com and run some tests. Trust me, that phone is as fast as an iPhone 8.
Yeah.
So none of your mates have got iPhone 8s. That phone is as
better
fast.
Better than what they got.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to paint that picture that, like, does, it plays every app, mate. It does all the things. It does everything it needs to do.
I've heard this song before with my kids. And mate, when they were, like, 15, 16, 17, they said, I've got a drawer full of the best Android phones over there.
Yeah.
Take your pick.
Yes.
They went, no, one iPhone.
Yeah.
You know why? Because all their friends have got iPhones too. It's just something that they have to have. It's like when you were younger, the good running shoes. You had the good runners.
No, mate, I had Aerosmiths.
I think we've had this conversation before. they want to be.
No, that's right.
They don't want to be with the one with the no name.
Let
brand.
Me be clear. I don't want him to be bashed or abused because he's got a bloody Samsung, right?
But of course not.
I just want him to be informed to the point where he can fight back and say, well, yours doesn't do this or yours doesn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, and actually talk about how it's a brand new phone versus a 6-year-old phone.
It takes photos.
Yep.
He can watch YouTube on it.
Yep.
Can he play games on it?
Every game he's been playing before. Yeah.
Job
absolutely.
Done. Job done.
Spot on. And Jackson is on
social
media.
He's on Instagram. He's worse than you.
So he goes to bed at age 12
with his phone.
No, it's always downstairs. So he goes to bed age 12.
Okay.
And I go downstairs because I've had his account. His Instagram account set up for years.
Oh, right.
I've got one for Harry and Vivi as well.
As well?
Yeah,
Have they got their proper names?
With the AU.
They couldn't get their AUs?
No, they're
all
with the AU,
See, you got a common name, mate. It doesn't help you.
No, it's all good. We're all the same. We've all got the AU.
So, it's sure Trevor Long AU.
Jackson Long AU.
You're giving his name.
Quick point on that. Most kids don't have their full name in their profile, and I get that. The reason I don't care is because... anyone can find his account easily because I'm always going to tag him in a photo. Like, they're going to find him, right?
Yeah.
They're going to know who he is. So there's no point hiding that, right? I get why his mates
should
hide their names.
Yes and
but
no. I only tag my kids when we're in a photo together and stuff like that. And I don't do it a lot though. And they don't want me doing a lot either. Because especially for my daughters, they're not happy with the photo sometimes. So they think that's an ugly photo of me. What do you share that for?
But so I logged it on for him when he was asleep. And so he woke up in the morning, he comes in, and we go, happy birthday. I said, mate, go and get your phone. Comes back up and it's already, I'm half asleep still. And Amanda's going, let's try and set it up. And it was already logged in. I'd logged it in for him, so he was ready to go. And it's awesome.
And he never knew that.
He knew I had an account, but he didn't know that he didn't need to set it up. I'd already installed it for him, done it all for him.
Let me ask you a question. So he's had a phone.
Yep.
Phones.
Yep.
And he hasn't had his own Instagram account. So you can't look at Instagram without your own account, can you?
No.
So you can't be looking at stuff unless you've got an account.
That's right.
So you can't just browse on there. Okay, cool.
No. He hasn't even had the app installed.
Right.
Because I've checked
it. But he has now.
He has now.
Right.
And he's got Snapchat. He's got Instagram.
Can I ask another question?
He's got
question?
Twitter.
If he doesn't want
Facebook.
I want to ask you this question, though. Have you got parental controls on his phone?
Yep.
You have? So there's certain things he can't look at?
Yep.
So,
basically, there's blocks at home.
He's 13, so it's not like he's 18 and can do what he wants.
No. And here's the other thing.
Yeah, that's a point we should make. A lot of our listeners would have kids that are that age. They're getting their first phone. Take the trouble to set that up. A lot of people think, oh, that's just too hard, and the child can do whatever they want. You were talking about him not being able to have the phone, take the phone to bed.
Here's an extra level of trouble that you need to take.
Yeah.
Okay? This is what Jackson had to read in full before he could get Instagram.
Oh, you did this, the digital contract.
Yeah.
Was this the Telstra one?
No, I got it from, I went to a session at the school a business or a company or a consultancy called Y-Safe.
Yeah.
A lady called, I think, Jasmine London. Used to be a cop. Anyway, so I downloaded it and then I edited it pretty heavily. I added some stuff.
Yeah.
And basically it just says you can't do this. And I bolded a bunch of stuff. I took him upstairs the day before his birthday. And I said, if you think you're getting Instagram tomorrow, because I've been saying, you think you're getting Instagram, that's no guarantee. I said, you have to read this. And I mean word for word. So go upstairs and do it.
Yep.
And I'll come up and we'll talk about it. And we talked through it. And I said, mate, because it's things like, if you see things that make you uncomfortable, you got to talk to us about it.
Yeah, of course.
Well, don't just go into your little hole and stuff like that. It's actually, there's so much more, like just a little, I'll never meet people I only know online. I will never share pictures, private pictures that I don't want public. I will never write something I wouldn't want written on the front page of the Daily Telegraph. To be honest, it wasn't that big a deal, but I think he fully understood it. And
well, that's important.
It allows us to come back to him and go,
yeah.
Have you got a drama, have you? Let's talk about it. Let's go through it this way.
That's textbook what the Telstra story says, that their research says about how managing usage, agree on the expectations you've got for them to how they're going to use it, monitor their social media, but also set the rules, which you've done, get involved. Also, this is one of my favourites, be a good example.
Yeah.
So if you say, listen, no, hey, Jacko, no phones at the dinner table.
Yeah.
And then you're on you're doing it. You'll go, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to practice what you preach.
100%.
That's very important too. But also too, and I saw that in your little agreement there, you got to learn to turn it off and be offline. So screen time isn't all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough, mate. It's really bloody tough because how they communicate.
I know, but if it was up to them, right? If it was up to Jacko, he'd be on it all the time.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay,
yeah.
And just like some of his mates are.
Yeah.
But I think you've done the right thing, and I did the same with my kids. We taught them the rules, and we said, look, there's a world out there above that screen.
Yeah,
don't be involved. Blah,
and listen,
blah.
If you're listening, thinking, good luck, you think you're better than everyone. I'm not. There's no way. Shit's going to happen. It's going to go bad. There's going to be things that go wrong.
I'll ask you this question, right? When your children are in front of you doing something in a playground, you're keeping an eye on them, aren't you?
Yeah.
So what's the difference when they're in the online world? You still got to keep an eye on them.
Yeah. But also, same thing, at the playground, sometimes they're not right in front of you. They go behind the building and they're throwing rocks at each other or something.
That's
they come out and one of them's got a stick. And you go, what's going on here? Put that down.
Yeah.
You don't know about everything as it's happening sometimes.
Absolutely.
And the same will apply here.
Yeah.
I might not know about a post that Jackson is. I've got notifications on. But if I don't see it and one of his mates reshares it with a stupid image above it or something like that, that's when you jump in.
I've got experience here. There was an incident with on Facebook, let's just say, with one of my kids that I was really angry about, and it stemmed from just this ignorance of them thinking, oh, we can share whatever we want, but that's not the case, and I got really angry about it, and contacted the people involved, and they realised the error of their ways, yeah, and said, right, I said, how would you like it if this was about you?
Yeah.
So I think that's important. And that sort of brings us to, like, the whole cyberbullying dangers. And, you know, it's just an added pressure for kids nowadays, where if you're bullied my day and your day, at 3 o'clock, you're home. Now, with, yeah, cyberbullying, it's a 24/7 potential that could absolutely lead to tragic circumstances.
And you know what I do? I try and keep a record of the bad stuff that happens. And, mate, it happens to me as much as it does a lot of people, but it just doesn't faze me because, you know, happens, right?
People bagging you out online.
Yeah, people send you weird stuff, right? Yeah. I'm going to show you something I got sent this week. Okay, you need to control yourself, right? And...
You were sent this.
On Instagram as a DM. Okay. Now, someone has clearly gone and watched a Today Show clip, right? And they've photoshopped onto Georgie, onto Carl, and onto me.
Mate, they've got too much time on there.
Yes.
What's and, doing?
And the words and the abuse was crazy.
They were particularly generous with you, too.
Yeah, they were. And I just wrote back, thanks, troll. Like, I'm not going to...
Don't engage, mate. But then, hang on a minute. I wouldn't have even replied to that. You've engaged, mate. You can't help it. I wouldn't have even replied. I wouldn't have given that the time of day.
Yeah.
You know, this is what your Twitter issue is, mate.
I don't have a Twitter issue anymore.
Okay, you need to have a force field where the things just bounce off you and nothing, just keep cruising forward.
I'm cruising, man.
Yeah.
I'm cruising. I'm just cataloguing.
That is funny, though.
For reference.
That was funny. That was funny, that picture. That was great. That was great. Did you show that to the other people involved? Or no.
No,
oh, no, don't be doing that. That could be a HR.
Yeah, I think we'd have to involve
other
people.
They might think that you did
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, bloody hell. I don't want the proof. This is Two Blokes Talking Parenting, our secondary podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening, and thanks to the good people at Netgear and Unitech.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fennec.
Well, yes, Unitech, great supporters of Two Blokes Talking Tech, and they've got a product that's about to be released. It's called the AppCam Solo PT. And let me tell you, PT stands for, you guessed it, Pan and Tilt. This is Australia's first completely wire-free, rechargeable home security camera that allows you to pan 355 degrees and tilt 140 degrees. So basically, you're getting kind of two cameras in one here. You can cover the same amount of area as you would require maybe from two cameras. So the advantages here are very obvious, and they also, too, have all the same features you'd expect with, like, two-way audio. They're weatherproof, of course, wire-free, and they also use, of course, ThermoSense, which is their special technology that can detect heat and movement, so you're not getting any of those false and annoying alerts. Also comes, too, with a solar panel, so you can set this up and not have to ever worry about charging the battery, so no downtime at all for your surveillance with the AppCam Solo PT. That's Pan and Tilt. It's going to be available in the coming weeks, so keep an eye on that. If you want to take a closer look at it, head to uniden.com.au.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Stephen, on the 28th Saturday, another Aldi Special Buy drops.
You're the Aldi Special Buys editor.
It's just awesome.
Did you edit that catalogue?
I get so much cool stuff out of them. But, mate, people love it.
Yeah, it's good.
The amount of traffic that you get from people querying it, because they want to know whether it's any good.
Yeah.
The electric bike a couple of weeks ago. But, mate, that TV.
Oh, so that's it there.
75 inches, 4K, HDR, Netflix app built in.
Yep.
$999.
Wow.
I mean, mate, that's ridiculous.
Born.
Now, weirdly, now I haven't fully reviewed it yet. That'll be probably Monday, Tuesday next week. But I did sit it next to the LG.
Yeah.
I had it up here on the stand, and they were literally next to each other.
Yeah.
And I watched, had Netflix, the Ryan Reynolds movie on Netflix, which I haven't watched yet, but I was watching him in sync. It was fascinating, because the blacks on that were better than the LG, which is not an OLED, it's a super UHD.
Okay.
But the pitch, the colour was a little bit more fake on the Aldi, on the Born, just kind of overcompensating the colour.
Yeah, right.
But... For $1,000.
But you know what? You could even trick that up in the settings.
Yeah, you could muck around a lot more with it. But here's the perfect situation for this TV is you've got a Telstra TV, a Fetch like I've got here, or some other box.
Yep.
Because the Netflix built into it is excellent, but that's it. Like, there's rubbish all else on it.
Free to wear. Yeah. So you don't have Disney Plus on it.
And you're never going to get them because it's some dodgy operating system, right? But even the Netflix, when you press the home button, has that kind of recommended, you know, next you should continue watching stuff.
Right.
So it's got a little bit of an advance in it.
So it's got a menu, like decent operating system?
No, rubbish. It's awful. Right. Okay. It's terrible. But
that's what we—that's what people ask.
It's a $1,000 screen.
Yeah.
And if you've got a smart box, like an Apple TV.
Yeah, of course.
Apple TV, Fetch, Telstra TV, that use that as your HDMI one, use that as your remote control. And I don't see why you'd be at all disappointed in that TV.
See, people need to understand. People think, why can I get a TV for $999 from here and LG and Samsung are charging me twice as much?
Yeah.
It's because of the, like, Samsung's, like, their Tizen software is just meticulous.
So good.
And they've got all the apps on it and their picture processing, the everything is just all from their R&D laboratories, and that's why it all looks pristine. That's the difference here, again, sort of comparing a Lamborghini to a Commodore.
Yeah.
They both kind of do the same thing, but you know why one costs a certain amount of money.
It's amazing to me that it's even possible.
It's really nice. The thin bezels too.
It's not an awful bezel, is it? It's
not too bad at all.
It's thicker than, you know, than the LG probably, just barely.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not an ugly bezel. It's just flat, flat and simple, right?
And when does this go on sale?
Saturday the 28th.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's Saturday week. It's kind of your Boxing Day. Oh. It's your Aldi Boxing Day, really.
So, 999.
999, 75 inches. Here's the challenge. You're going to need to bring a mate and a big car.
Yeah, it's a big
box.
That's
a massive, it's a big box.
Won't fit
for
in the
first
trolley.
Time ever, I got a courier to help me bring it upstairs. Normally, they just leave TVs and I just drag them upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
The bloke struggled. They'd give him water after he come up. It was heavy. Like it's 40 kilos or something in the box. But it's well packaged. But you're going to need a big car.
Yeah.
Like that won't fit in my Commodore.
And you just put the stand on the bottom yourself? And
two legs, easy, two screws in each. Very easy
to
set up.
How many HDMI ports?
I'm going to say three.
Okay.
I'm going to say three.
It's normally four, but that's three's enough.
Three, you don't get more. You don't get four on an expensive, on a cheap one.
Yeah, four's normally what you get. But it's got, it's got Wi-Fi on board.
Wi-Fi on board.
It's got an Ethernet connection on board.
Ethernet on board. So you've got your internet connection. You've got what you need. The basics are there. I actually really like, this is going to sound crazy, I really like their manuals.
Yeah.
They're very well written. Very simple, they do them all here in Sydney, the manuals. They make them quite well. Anyway, I'm just going to quickly check here. One, two, three. Yeah, so three HDMI,
two USB. Does the USB have the ability to connect a hard drive and record to it? I don't think so.
No, it doesn't. No.
Because some of the, that's another
no
thing.
No, PV. It's a very Kogan-style thing to do.
Yeah, right.
Kogan,
and
you don't really get
it. Android, is it? Nah. It's not an Android TV.
It's not an Android TV, to be very clear.
So it's just its own OS.
It's just its own OS. I'll reach forward and get the remote control.
Not a bad-looking remote, either. Yeah, looks like a Samsung remote.
Where's the bloody thing? What have I done here? Exit. That's
your USB.
That's the USB input there.
So go to your
home. So that's that there. So I've just brought up the bottom menu. Yeah. It's got the continue watching stuff.
Yeah,
but that's about as good as it gets.
YouTube, Facebook, Twitter,
smart TV apps, which are all utter rubbish.
Can you imagine if Disney Plus popped up on that?
Oh, I'd go nuts. I'd go utterly nuts.
Yeah, right.
But you know they're ones you've never heard of.
And you can tell the processor is a little bit slower than
because it's not
expensive
firing
TV.
Up super fast. But look, mate, Netflix actually launches pretty good, pretty fast. I've been watching the Fetch through it. Look, it's $1,000. Like, don't expect you're going to get a Samsung for it.
Don't think you can get a $5,000 TV
for the man cave.
Yeah,
like beautiful. A 75-inch TV in the man cave.
Does it have a wall mount? Can you wall mount?
Yeah, it's got a VESA mount on the back. Pretty. I didn't actually do it, but it's all there, man.
Pretty good.
It's a good looking unit.
What do you think of the Irishman? You've been watching this.
This is where I'm up to in it.
Yeah, it's not
basically.
Bad. It's a long show.
Yeah, it's got VESA mount. Yeah, 3 hours or something. That's crazy.
3 hours 40 minutes, as a matter of fact.
But like, you look at that picture there that I'm playing the Irishman now, like it's not awful.
That's not too bad at all.
Not too bad at all.
There's a lot of light behind it.
Yeah,
we're
pumping the light behind it, but you know,
not bad at all.
Like, I don't mind
4K.
That at all.
That's
pretty good. Coming up in where's the info button? Actually coming through in 1080 at the moment.
Oh, okay.
In fact, it'll pump. The Irishman in?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely, it is.
Yeah, so it's pumping up now. It's just getting more megabits now. But I don't even mind it in HD.
Very good.
Anyway, good little unit. 28th of December. That's your Aldi special buy.
That's a good bit too. There. That's a good part.
Okay, I'll get to it.
Keep watching that.
All right, listen to Two Blokes Talking Tech. Details of that 4K 75-inch TV are up at EFTM.com, and I'm going to delay pressing this button for as long as I can.
We'll do that first. We'll finish off with that. We'll do this one first.
I can't even read it, Stephen. Okay.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Okay, we're saving the best till last.
Saving my ability to just leave.
Okay, well, we're going to talk first of all about Westpac finally are going to offer Apple Pay to their customers in, wait for it, June 2020.
I mean, what an utterly stupid announcement.
Why did they take so long? They're the last of the big four banks, are they? So it was ANZ first, CommBank, followed by National Australia Bank,
yep.
Westpac, although...
Nearly every small bank in between.
but now also, there's other financial institutions underneath the Westpac umbrella, like St. George,
so here's the thing.
Bank of South Australia and Bank of Melbourne, which have it today.
On May the 12th, 2016, I was a St. George customer.
Yeah.
So now nearly four years. Let's just call it, you know, just shy of four years later, St. George have Apple Pay. Imagine if I'd held out this long. Imagine how, you think I'm angry now. Imagine how angry I'd be if I only
had St. George. Crazy. He switched to ING.
And
he's had Apple. And I told him, I said, you know, St. George, you got Apple Pay? Because I left them months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I made a commitment, essentially, when Apple Pay launched. I said, the first bank that launches, I'll change to. And I did. Yep. And
still with them?
They did. Yeah, I'm still with them. I've now moved everything. We've
good.
We've got nothing with St. George anymore.
Mortgage?
No. We got rid of the mortgage with St. George, but it's not with ANZ. But that was prior to Apple Pay.
That's personal information. You have to share that, mate.
True.
How much do you owe on your house again?
Yeah, lots, mate. Lots. If you kindly want to make some donations, that's why I get
should
on that 5G stuff.
Should we set up a Patreon page, mate?
You know what? I'm just going to quick shout out.
Can they pay off the bloke's mortgages?
I will.
I'm happy to be a 5G spokesperson as well.
At the bottom of every EFTM article is an author box. Tells you who you are, right? Yeah. And in mine, there's a PayPal link.
Yeah, the buy Trevor drink.
Buy Trevor drink.
Yeah.
I just want to shout out to Craig Voicey, who this year made a donation this week. And I'm just going to say, it's not the first time. He's made multiple donations over the last few years.
God bless him, Craig.
And it means a lot. I'm not asking for anyone. I'm just shouting out to Craig for being a top bloke.
Appreciate your generosity.
And being like that. And shout out to the government for getting the two blokes involved in the 5G
campaign. 5G, hey, mate, what better campaign could they think of?
Seriously.
Imagine us two hosting that. We're just bagging out all these tinfoil wearing people.
We should do a video with tinfoil and everything.
So, oh my God.
We'll just pitch up to Paul Fletcher.
Not 5G.
Anyway, I don't know.
I've actually met Paul Fletcher.
I don't know how we got onto that. Yeah,
I know Paul Fletcher.
Team.
I got an in there.
Okay.
I got a contact there.
Okay. We'll make it happen.
Paul,
I don't know what we're
talking
about.
If you're listening, we'll be in touch.
St. George, stick it up your bum. it's too late. Too little, too late in my book. If you're a St. George customer, finally you can get on board and all the other subsidiaries. But why poor Westpac customers have to wait till June 2020?
Well, you know,
makes no sense.
The response, the common response on the reaction to when I published my story was, what has hell frozen over?
Yeah.
It was the response. That's not a good rap for Westpac, is it?
Mate, I love it because it's just, imagine Apple. They're sitting there going, we told you.
They messaged me this
morning. Told you.
Oh, Westpac.
I'm saying Apple, the people that were involved in the legal case, the ACCC and all that. It's like,
if you can't beat them, join them.
And
is
that's what's happened. It's taken 4 years.
Why did it take, were they just the last holdout from that consortium? The three banks ganged up on Apple. The other two realised the error of their ways. And
early enough.
And they sort of folded
it's just
early.
Data. It's just customer data. It's looking at social media. It's looking at people saying, can we have Apple Pay, please? And I'm not suggesting for a minute that ANZ or any other bank benefited greatly from a churning of customers from the other big three.
Yeah.
But I think they noticed. I genuinely think the banks noticed. And I think the Royal Commission,
best dressed.
The Royal Commission helped them realise they had to be customer focused. But, you know, seriously, who are you kidding yourself? Anyway, if you are a Westpac customer, hold out. If you're a St. George customer, get it now. Apple Pay. It is, honestly, like I don't carry a wallet anymore. Mm. That's the best thing. It really, if you're an Apple user or a Samsung, because Samsung Pay and everything as well, if you're not using a digital wallet, even as a backup, Amanda has my cards on her phone.
Really?
Because, like, if she does forget a wallet, she's always able to do what she needs to do because you never lose your phone.
Like, that's true.
You're more likely to lose your wallet than you are your phone.
And you mentioned Samsung Pay. Westpac's been on Samsung Pay for quite a while.
Which is even more ridiculous.
They had the big four straight away.
Two Blokes Talking Tech.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Can I leave?
We've saved the best part till last. Look, it's...
Sorry, Steve, we're out of time.
We can't not talk about the rise of Skywalker.
What's that?
Like, this is the last of the Skywalker saga, episode 9.
Okay.
I've seen the movie twice already in less than 24 hours.
Okay.
And...
Is everyone dead
it
now?
It was... no spoilers. I've written a spoiler-free review.
Why can't we do spoilers right now?
On TikTok.
Just turn out. Turn off.
No. I don't want to do that. I want to give you my thoughts on the movie. And It has.
What's
had
it called again?
The Rise of Skywalker. Okay, right. It's on my site. Spoiler free, by the way.
It's got
so
a
head
dead
on there.
Carrie Fisher in it. Yep, good.
So, yeah, well, there were some scenes that were sort of left over from Force Awakens that they repurposed for this movie. And I've got to say, they did a brilliant job. You think she's in, like, in the movie, yeah, right, for real.
They were leftover scenes, you said?
They were cut scenes from The Force, right, okay, Awakens, and they repurposed it, shot around them. Very, she sort of blends into the film. And this was, I think, a tough one because J.J. Abrams had to bring this in for a landing. This had to come in, finish the not only this trilogy, but kind of wrap up all the 9 Skywalker movies, which date back 42 years. And I've got to say, he did a brilliant job.
The Rise of Skywalker suffers from a frustrating lack of imagination, but concludes the beloved saga with a fan-focused devotion.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Rotten Tomatoes consensus.
Because it only opened in America just like half an hour ago, so they're a day later than us.
Yep.
And there is a term that they're using, the critics, it's called fan service. So they're, and I agree with this, they were very aware that they needed to kind of satisfy the fans because the previous film, The Last Jedi, was very, very divisive among fans. Okay. You either loved it or hated it.
So let me ask you this, understanding as much as I do, which is not what, but understanding this saga, okay, I understand this is a saga, this 9-part saga, does it close out the saga for you as a fan?
Yes, it does.
So you don't feel left wanting?
He landed it well.
Right.
Yeah. It's a satisfying...
Does that mean...
Epic conclusion. And like it's like you think all is lost and there's hope and there's sadness and laughter. And
But by closing out the saga, does that just mean that in that timeline, remember you showed me that timeline of all the movies and how they go.
Yep.
Does it mean they simply can't write movies that are based with Skywalker characters in them that are based after that? Does it mean they might make other spin-offs from back in between?
They're going to make a great example was Rogue One. Rogue One was the before A New Hope. So that was how they got the Death Star plans. That was a standalone movie. So there's all these opportunities, and Bob Iger, I heard him interviewed, he's the boss of Disney, and with Disney Plus. So it's given them just another club in the bag where they can make stuff for TV, like The Mandalorian's doing really well. I'm really enjoying that. They've got the films, but this is put the full stop on the saga, 9 films. And Kathleen Kennedy, who's the boss of Lucasfilm and one of the producers of the movie, she kind of hinted, I watched the world premiere, the live stream of the world premiere, and she was saying that, it's an end, not the end sort of thing. She was sort of the Skywalkers, it might be something in it. But this movie puts a very satisfying ending to the whole
thing. What does it mean, though? Because if this saga's over and they create a new saga, does that is that an independent universe?
Yeah. No, it'd still be in the Star Wars universe, but it'd just be a different set of characters. It just won't involve the Skywalkers. The Skywalkers was Darth Vader, Luke, Leia. They're all the Skywalkers.
Right.
So it won't involve this family. So this very dysfunctional family.
But it might involve the same Tatooine and places.
Yeah,
and
there might be familiar places. Like, I think The Mandalorian is a good example. Anyone who's watching the Disney Plus show, where he is a character that's on these other worlds. They do visit some of the worlds that Star Wars has been used for, Tatooine, and you see Stormtroopers. And so it's a very big sandbox to play in. So, look, don't think that there's not going to be any more Star Wars films. They've given the creators of the guys who did Game of Thrones, the showrunners, Dan Weiss and the other dude, I forget his name now, but they've got a open book to say, right, write us a Star Wars trilogy. So they're like, is it Danny Weiss and I forget the other guy's name. Anyway, the two showrunners for Game of Thrones are thinking of creating something. But in this movie, there is a lot of questions that are answered that have been burning since this new trilogy started with The Force Awakens. You learn a lot of things. A lot of things happen. But
you need to have watched a lot of the others to watch
you do.
This movie.
Oh, well, look, this is a standalone. You could watch this on its own and go, okay, it's a fun movie. But there's so much background to it.
So I'd be sitting there going, you're sitting there going,
There's stuff that goes back to the original Star Wars movie.
Right.
There's something that happens that sort of answers a question from the original movie. There's another thing that happens that is related to what happened in Empire Strikes Back. There's all these little things that if you're a fan like me, you're thinking, wow, great, oh, that's awesome. So it's just sort of ticking off the boxes. But that's not to say that there's not a great story in this as well. There's a real struggle in this. The characters are on a journey. They've got their own obstacles and they've got to try to work together and they're against this immense power. And so it's very much in the spirit of the other films where the underdogs are trying to beat the big bad empire sort of thing. So it still maintains that spirit. And J.J. Abrams, I've got to say, brilliant filmmaker, great action. Like, from the word go, you're into it. Head first, action, straight away. It's moving, this thing. And a lot of great scenes, a lot of good set pieces. A surprising amount of humour, too. It's quite funny in parts as well, some great lines. But, look, everything, if you're a fan, like, I'll rate this in my top four Star Wars movies. Out of 11 Star Wars movies, I won't tell you where in the top four it'd be, but it's in the top four, in my opinion. Others might not agree, but this, to me, was very emotional, had a lot of action. It really covered a lot of ground, but it was very satisfying. And I've said this in my review. I'm not ashamed to say it. There were bits in this movie where I had tears running down my face. There was some really emotional parts of it. Because it's about a family. It's a family, the Skywalker family. And there's stuff happening and struggles happening. And so a lot of surprises in it as well that you're going to really enjoy. I think it's well worth a look. Even if you're half a fan, it is definitely worth looking at.
That's
worth
watching. I think that's important. Yeah. You don't have to be as invested in it as you are.
Look, you know what? There's levels of enjoyment. It's like if it's like when your kids watch The Simpsons, right? Do your kids have watched The Simpsons?
No, I don't. I think we might have seen a couple.
I watched The Simpsons. When my kids were growing up, I used to watch The Simpsons. They used to love it. They used to enjoy it. And they sort of enjoyed the top layer of it, the funny bits of it.
Yeah.
But when I watch it, there's so many cultural references in it. It's stuff in the background, little
mate,
references.
It's like Pixar movies.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on.
You can watch a Pixar movie and laugh at something. The kids go, what are you laughing at? It's like, you'll never get it.
Exactly right. So I think there's that kind of enjoyment with this movie too.
Right.
Like if you're a
So basically, me watching it, I'm the kid. You watching it, you're the adult that gets all the other
absolutely
bits of
right. That's right. Yeah. And it resolves everything. It's resolved. You know, okay, this is it.
You can move on now.
Well, yeah.
You're not
just have
to
watch it a few more times.
I think the most important thing to end on is I'm up to date with Ray Donovan.
Good for you. So you've watched even up to season 7 now, too.
Season 7, episode 4.
Well, you're ahead of me then. I haven't even watched episode
4
yet.
Oh, my God!
I want to watch that tonight or tomorrow.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Yeah. So how you watch that through your mates
Foxtel.
Foxtel, of course.
No, I've got Foxtel. No, the season 7. Yeah. So season 6 I watched through the DVD.
Thank you,
Stephen.
Yeah, that's a nice thing for me. Yeah.
And season 7 is what is it, every week now?
It's weekly. It drops weekly.
Yeah, so it'll be another 8 weeks because it's a 12-episode season. Yeah. So
I haven't watched 4 yet, so you're one ahead of me. So you've overtaken me.
That was a marathon.
Yeah, it's good though.
Like
good
I started the marathon late.
Tell you what else
I sprinted home.
Oh, did you ever? You smashed that out. That's really good. No, I'm proud of you. That's great. But you know another good show that I watched, and I watched, there was only 6 episodes, watched it over the weekend, was the new Stan film, Stan series called The Other Guy. You see this?
Oh, see, I didn't watch the first
That is
season,
funny.
Is
it is funny. Yeah, like it's Matt O'Kane.
Matt O'Kane, yeah.
And he pays this, like in the season 1, he's a radio DJ and he's got a girlfriend and it turns out his girlfriend of 10 years has been sleeping with another dude for 5 years. That's why it's called The Other Guy dramas and she gets pregnant and blah, blah, blah. So I've kind of spoiled the whole first season for you. But season 2 then picks it up from there. And I've got to say, laugh out loud, very good writing. Really good. So, and that's a Stan original.
Yeah.
So, well done to Stan. That is a really cool show. Some good content coming from Stan over Christmas.
And we know they needed that.
Yeah.
Right, off the back of the Disney Plus launch.
That is absolutely right.
And you know, they've got all those box sets of like bloody Buffy the Vampire Slayer and How I Met Your Mother. And they've got a bunch of stuff that they've just made it like, oh, what was Amanda watching the night? Oh, Grey's Anatomy.
Ah, that's on Stan
now. I've only watched like one episode of that.
Yeah,
and I said, where's this? She goes, Stan. I went, that's so smart.
Yeah.
Like, it's good. I can't get rid of Stan
but
because
you know,
there's all
smart,
that stuff there.
Very smart timing. Like, The Other Guy is, that's already
got the Kelly Gaines story coming up soon.
That's January. Yep. They've got, I think, The Gloaming, which is near Boxing Day, I think. They've got another show called The Commons, which is the woman out of Downton Abbey is the star.
Right.
And it's sort of set in the near future. And they've also got the Kelly Gang thing as well.
They've got Moneyball.
And Moneyball with the Brad Pitt movie. Yeah.
We watched that last
co-written
night.
Co-written by Aaron Sorkin, co-wrote that.
Right. Good
guy, dude out of the West Wing.
Very good movie.
With, anyway. What's his name? He's in it, Jonah Hill.
Yes, that's
the guy.
I always get him mixed up with all those
the brains,
silly funny
he's
blokes.
The brains of the this whole Moneyball scientific approach.
I think we spent 7 minutes talking about Star Wars.
Good.
Is it?
The movie's 2 hours, 22 minutes.
Oh.
So it's solid, and there is not a minute that you could cut out of it, I reckon. Not 1 minute. It's all there.
I'm going to watch it just to find a minute to cut out. Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Everything about tech you never wanted to know. This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Well, Stephen, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. and I'll see you in Las Vegas.
Merry Christmas to you. And let's just also wish our beloved listeners, our loyal listeners, a Merry Christmas. Stay safe. And we look forward to joining you again in 2020. Thank you for all your support. For everyone who's tweeted out to us, reached out to us, we really appreciate that. We value your support. So thank you
very much. We love seeing the messages. It makes us realise someone's listening. Otherwise, it's just two blokes talking to each other.
It's just two blokes gibbering.
Yeah. Which we're cool with.
Which is what we do anyway.
Merry Christmas, everyone. And we won't be going anywhere. We'll be back again in 2020. 2020 is going to be huge.
It's going to be big.
Don't you get that feeling?
It is.
I got that feeling. You got that feeling?
Oh, I've got it.
Yeah, baby. There's some good stuff happening, folks. Yes, there is. We look forward to having us join us on that entire journey. Stephen, Merry Christmas.
See you, mate.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.